commercial homes that are needed. And the ultimate thing is you kill property tax. That's more homes create more property tax. So we're at a losing battle, so we're going to spend time and space there.
Yeah, but where are the kids who live in those homes going to go to school?
And well, having a good school district and good school facilities is part of that whole community.
This is your home value.
It's hard. And the other issue is then they work so hard, as you well, you have noticed some of you, to make it so expensive to build schools. They build them and feel like they can withstand a nuclear blast. And they're very costly. Probably. Kathy, what do you think of DSA probably adds another 30% onto the cost?
Yeah, that's basically it for earthquake safety, fire life issues, ADA compliance.
The ADA changes all the time. It seems like they're always working. I mean, you see it in the store. They're always moving the damn blue space. And then they paint over it, and the other one starts coming up through the blue. And you go, okay, why do they keep moving the laws change, I guess. Move over here, move over there. So we've done that quite a bit throughout our district. That raises costs. And then schools are required to, the contractor, subcontractor are required to pay prevailing wage, union wages. So you don't get a market rate. So the market rate, you just grab a figure for rubber, it's $50 an hour. The prevailing wage may be $32 an hour. And we have to pay, and our contractors have to pay them. And they have to prove that they pay. They have to show us we have to hire a special auditor. Mm-hmm. On the elementary, I think, the time you showed me, it's about $60 for the auditor.
Just the auditor.
Just the auditor to make sure we pay the right wages. Because they stopped trusting them, and so they went to lunch and got a lot of cash to make us oversee it. Adds probably another 20% to the cost, as opposed to if you were building this business park or apartments or houses.
Now, is any school going as far as we are on technology upgrades?
Say that again, Michael.
Are any other schools as heavily into technology upgrades as we are?
Other school districts?
Yeah.
They're getting there, yeah. But it's all where you get the money. College, but how do you replace these computers? You get these infusions and you get all these computers, and then they last, 4 or 5 years. Where do you get the next infusion? And it's frustrating.
There's also, I guess, the software issue, because that's going to have to come out of the general fund part.
Yeah, that's where most of it comes out, is unless you can squeeze money from here or there. And some districts have schools where they can raise money with the community. Others cannot. Some get special federal funds. Others do not. So you do what you can, but the new demand now is to do all the state testing on computers. Mm-hmm. Instantaneous, no paper. And you want it in 2 years, federally, all across the country. Someone even ask someone like me if we can afford it, or say, how? And then let's say you get done, what do you do when it breaks down in 4 years? And they just don't, they just think of these things back in the nice little room. They don't go out there. It's starting to hit some walls right now. And will the testing be ready to do it online? So we're not sure where they're going with that. I'm concerned when we do this infusion, what will happen. Ceiling projectors, if they last 12 years, how are they going to be replaced in 12 to 15 years? Assuming they're using it in 12, it could be a totally different deal. I learned to give you some interesting facts here. So, many of you have seen the new books, where the big books on the computer, it's on Apple, or what's the other,
Kindle.
So, you start getting a few. Well, that's the logic, is kids will have that and all day, they won't have textbooks. That's the logic. So you think they'd be well along. And I would think the East Coast would be way ahead of us because they're better funded than they are. And so we bought it. We bought 6,000 books. The companies cannot handle it. They handle individuals like you and me, and they go, well, give us the name of the person. There's no name. We just want to buy, let's say, 40 copies away. Because who would want 40 copies of something? A school district or a library. Oh, they can't handle it. We've got to get a name. They want to assign it to Darius. I go, no, Darius is going to hand it to this kid, he's going to hand it to this kid, or what if it goes in the library? They're not prepared for it. Apple or Kindle. They're not ready for that.
They want to be paid for every single book, so they want to be paid for every single person, so they don't want you to give it to the next person.
Well, if you buy a book, you can download evidently 6 devices. Mm-hmm. So you might have 6 mm-hmm. devices. And go, well, we want 25. And they just, it's like, I can't believe that the first one's asking this. And then one of my colleagues said, okay, we're doing this, we're buying gift cards for the teacher, and I put it, and they can download it to the thing, and you know, this is, why are we meeting their needs? Why are they not meeting our needs?
I was just going to say, there's an opportunity for some young entrepreneur.
Well, there's 6.2 million kids in California. Now, multiply times the press in and say, come on. But I know they fight it up because that publishing industry, they don't want change. They don't want change.
Yeah, but you know, if they don't, somebody eventually will force them.
Yeah, some of the old, one of them doing it for free, like a Google or something, and buying the old stuff and putting it out there for free.
Yeah, Google was trying to capture everything.
Yeah.
Digitally.
Well, that's just kind of a little tidbit. We're just scratching the surface right now. But of course, that's the goal, is to have a kid have some of these things and then new software to teach them.
Help them learn. Do they take them home with them so they can do homework?
Someday, yeah. And then I worry about, okay, what's going to happen when the kid drop kicks across the street? You know, is it my sponsor? Is it their responsibility? Or if some other kid steals it from them?
It's a little bit more than a book.
And yeah, you know, we do things here. We have protection here. Like if you bring your stuff and you get online, we have filters that get, people from getting on back. You take it home, now the filters are off. You're working off your internet at home. So that gives us a whole other set of problems to deal with. You know, what responsibility do we have if the child gets on a bad site?
It does raise a whole set of issues for school textbook use of digitized textbooks. Mm-hmm. But you would think that a business would be evolving around those needs to say, look, we're going to embed the parental software, the parental guidance in the unit itself that can't be changed except by a school administrator.
I'll give you frustration of law. So there was a court case called the Williams Act, and it was basically they sued. And the buildings weren't good, there weren't enough books, blah, blah, so they settled this long case. So we have to make sure we have a textbook for every child. And we are audited by the NFC, and they're coming out, so I have to go to school and make sure they count. Well, one of the demands of parents were, kids are carrying 60-pound backpacks home. Why can't you just, it's a modern age. So we ordered textbooks, and they give us discounts. I still have to have a hardcover book because I have to prove I have a book for it. It's all in storage. That's law for you. Dumb. You know, they can't leap ahead. But the law says you've got to make sure you have a textbook. We do it, it is. Well, you can't prove that one. You can't, because it's home, you can't physically go out and count it. It's like,
No, that's...
We're so slow to change.
Yeah, that's a K-12, right? Because that... You go to Palomar College, and they've converted to electronic.
Well, they don't. You're textbooks. Not required to give you a textbook at college. I'm required to give you all the textbooks and everything in the K-12, free. It's a free education. Palomar College is not free, so you have to buy the books. Or if you have a professor who wrote the book, you buy the professor's book. And I went through that, and we all did. And then so-and-so down the hall has a different. They write set, so that we have two different books. Because if they put me in college, I'd go crazy.
The teachers are actually trying to create a book exchange at Palomar to offset that, because the publishers, they come up with a new edition every single year, and they give the teachers these free books, and then you assign these new books, and it's $250 per textbook for one class,
and they change it
for one class. My husband teaches physics at Palomar, and he's just disgusted by it. And so he is, and some other teachers are kind of getting together, and they're working with some off-campus bookstores and stuff, trying to figure out how to do this book exchange to get around these publishers, because it's so outrageous how much, how they work this college textbooks are insanely expensive. Why do they keep changing? Because they're free. For the teachers. The teachers get them for free.
So if you're a physics teacher, wouldn't you already have the book from last semester?
You do.
Yeah.
But this one has
more
information. It has better.
I'm a college student. Trust me, I never buy the new editions because you get one sentence that's different.
It depends on the teacher. Yeah. Some teachers are like, I like the most current thing. It's the newest. It's, you know, and whatever. Or you get somebody who says, you know what? Physics is physics. The laws of physics haven't changed.
Yeah.
And so, like, we can use this textbook. It doesn't matter. We can use this textbook forever. And it doesn't matter, but it depends on the teacher.
Is that a typical $250? Is that typical?
It depends. For science books, oh yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But for English or for something else, it might be less. My husband is in science, and so I know the science textbooks are insanely expensive. Well, it's the same for law. You know, go get a law textbook, you know, and they're really expensive.
Well, I majored in chemistry, and I think $60 was the most I ever paid for a book, and but that was.
Well, then you know, like that font, they have their own editions, and so you can't even get a used one because it's a gross font edition, and they change it every year, and you have to use that because the assignments are written in the books,
right?
And so, and they mark it up so much just for. And you can look at the same book. That's the same year from the same publisher, but it's not the gross font edition, and it's $70 cheaper. People are really profiting off of public education.
The other end of the spectrum is one of my finance professors in my MBA program. His textbook was the Wall Street. It changed every day. Mm-hmm. Every day it changed because it was the Wall Street Journal.
I had that in my business classes. We had to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. Yeah. That was the one.
And you know,
at least
I think
real world. You know,
the Wall Street Journal and The Economist is pretty much, you know, that's.
Yeah.
But you kind of have an idea what schools face. You know, people wonder why aren't we on top of things and doing the life thing. It's just people fight you.
There's hoops.
They fight you every step of the way.
Jumping.
Not to mention it's very expensive. But so we talked about technology, and hopefully we're pushing ahead with some projects this summer. I hope. We'll keep you informed at our next meeting on where we're going with that.
Okay. So in terms of the next steps, you know, Gary, if you could think about the time frame that to get back to us, and I think to get back to us with two things. One is what staff can do along the lines of what we've talked about in terms of the format and the content, and then specifically, two, thinking about, and that ties to what you just said, the projects, right, the other projects, the other Prop K projects, how to categorize them in a way that would be easy to track and report on. Because looking at the way they're laid out in Prop K, they're all sort of jumbled together, and I don't know if that would be the right way to do it. So along the lines of what we have here in terms of tracking and communicating with the public, the progress of these other projects, you know, if you get to think about, have staff think about the proper grouping that would make sense for this exercise.
Okay.
Do you think 30 days would be enough time to get back to us?
I think so. We have one of my people that we use, his wife's ill right now, so he's been out for a week or so. I'm not sure what his time schedule, but I'll talk to him and see if we can get away with it and how complicated it would be.
Okay. If we can schedule another meeting then for about 30 days, what I'd like to do is have this in place before our next meeting, so that the next meeting we roll out the new format.
Okay.
The next regular quarterly meeting. So, Gary, if you could get back to us and let us know if 30 days is a good time,
sure.
Or 45 days or whatever, then we can schedule another special meeting, if that's okay with everybody, to get a report from staff on what they can do.
Okay. Be happy to.
Can I mention something sort of on a related topic? I noticed some of the PTOs have Facebook sites, not necessarily for people to post, but more to disseminate information.
A blog for arrangement?
Yeah, or you could use it for milestones, you know, 50% done with the high school, or whatever the topic is, but a lot of people use it. So I don't know if that might be something to consider. I don't know if that's too unsupervised to be able to use, but I know that you can...
I don't know enough about it myself. I know we have one, but the guy that I was telling you about, he deals with it, Kevin, the superintendent, you know, the do things. I have no idea how to use it.
I've set them up for a couple nonprofits. It's very easy. Super easy.
I wonder if, because since somebody's going to have to maintain that Facebook site and go on and do the post or whatever, it almost seems like it would be easier just to go to the high school or Discovery Elementary or wherever and just say, hey, here's where we are. Can you do a little blurb on your Facebook site, on your site? So whatever project we're on, have that site do the announcement for that one on their Facebook post so that it's the people who are looking at that particular one, who might not care what's going on here because their kids are in elementary school or whatever, but they're looking at Discovery Elementary, they see what goes out on that one.
Right. And also the district has a link, I think even a LinkedIn and a Facebook site. I know the district as a whole has a Facebook site. I don't know if there's a LinkedIn site. I think what we can do is have them do a blast after our meetings and say, look at the COC website, for an update.
Because then it could draw people into the COC site, but I don't think anybody's going to go onto a COC Facebook site. We have problems getting citizens to come to a meeting or whatever, and I feel like it's going to be a hard sell to try to get somebody to actually go to the COC website to begin with. So that might be a way to get those people, those eyes to the site to kind of see what we're doing.
Right. So one of the things we can do is I think it's a great idea, Stacey, get a blast out to the related Facebook pages, including the districts, just with a blast saying, check out the COC website for an update on, the Prop A bond issuance. That's a way to do that.
They had their meeting and go to their website to see what their minutes are, what happened at the meeting. Here's when their next meeting is. On their site, there's more people are going to see their site than our site.
So those meetings are a good idea.
I wouldn't see it.
I think that's a good idea. So we can build that into the process.
So there's a lot of moms groups. And how much times I have to get their mom in a moms group and they all talk about their schools. Facebook pages, so maybe, but I'm not so. I think it's a good idea to just do the blast because then they can see it. You can put the link there and say, if you're interested, here it is.
Get them to do some marketing for us.
Well, the I-15 and 78 corridor group, there's a website and regular email blast for updates. So this can't be all that new.
But I think that's an important part of what we should be doing is communicating the results of what we're doing to the public. So I think those are all good ideas to try to do that, increase that awareness and the relationship.
You're interested in the Facebook is on the district website. You just go to the website and then down this lower right-hand corner is Facebook and Twitter, where you could just go on and see what's happening, see how it's set up.
And like it,
that's right.
Right, so if everybody hasn't done that yet, sure.
Yeah.
Because that way you get, you'll get information too. Any other business related to the website, related ideas? Well, thank you all for attending and participating, and look forward to working on this.
When's our next meeting? Real meeting?
July 25th.
And that's when we will get caught up on approving minutes, the outstanding minutes that we have, and any other old business that will be on the agenda.
Right, and I'll ask you for agenda items.
Mm-hmm. So what was that, July 25th?
Pardon?
What time is it? Is it 6 p.m.?
6 o'clock, yes.
6 o'clock at the district office.
Okay.
And if there's no other related business,
let's see. Just a quick question. How do we add or agenda items as members, or is it up totally to you?
Just let me know. And just be sure that, they should relate to Prop K related issues.
Right.
And then I'll work with Cecilia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all.
Great.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks.
You're welcome. It's good to see you guys.
It was nice to see the...